Ramsey TV.
This Axe 28-28 position is so flimsy. It is constructed with toothpicks and Elmer's glue. Charles Welch must have had a bad pizza and went to bed on it and woke up thinking that there was this tremendous, magnificent line at Axe 28-28, a division line that everything before it was part of a previous administration and everything after it is another administration. And look what it causes our friend Clyde Pilkington to do. And anybody who holds to this invention, this flimsy doctrine, this flimsy theory, it causes them to give up or ignore or to really discard the snatching away of the body of Christ. It also causes anybody who holds it to go to passages like we are going to and will be going into even further, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and seeing that Paul's instructions there about holding loosely to the world and Paul's recommendation that he would prefer it if you not get married. Paul would prefer it if you not get married. But people who look through the convoluted funhouse mirror lens of Acts 28:28, they look at that, well, that's a previous administration. That doesn't belong to us. We're supposed to get married and have all kinds of marriages and weddings and all kinds of things. Hold on tightly to the world now. Yes, you can jump in head first. And by the way, celebrate like the world celebrates, mourn like the world mourns. Just kind of just get in touch with your emotions and just ooze your enjoyment of this life. That's the result of this fiction. Let me show you how flimsy this is. It's hard to believe that the whole thing could be based on this. And I'm reading about Charles Welch, and what he does is he gets this idea that there's this great line, but the weird thing is he gets it from Bollinger, Dr. A.W. Bollinger in Great Britain. So he goes to Bollinger, and he says, I notice that you're making a big deal of Acts 28:28, but your teaching doesn't reflect it. In other words, you're seeing that this great line of Acts 28:28. Wait till I show you this, quote, great line. Where do you see it? But you don't. This is Welch to Bollinger, probably belching his pizza from the previous night. Why isn't your doctrine reflecting this monumental line in the sand? Bollinger says, I don't rightly know, chap or mate. And so this upstart, this whippersnapper, this pizza boy convinced the elder, the great, the rotund Dr. Bollinger to change all of his teaching. I don't know if he put something in his drink. I don't know if he brought him some of the same pizza he had had. I don't know, but Bollinger just kind of caved. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for both of them. And it causes a modern day person to, again, make serious mistakes. But it's convenient. This is why it's convenient, because again, in the early part of Paul's ministry, there are strange things happening. Admittedly, yes, as I said this before, I'll say it again, there's baptisms going on. Paul's baptizing some people. There's languages. People are speaking in tongues. And there's some healing going on. But it's simply because Paul's ministry went from glory to glory. It started with a little bit of Israel-type tailwind, but then it got weaned from that. Paul explains all of this in 1 Corinthians 12. He says that we are prophesying out of an installment. We are healing out of an installment. There's a time when maturity will come, Paul says. We'll do a whole study on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so Paul said that maturity would do away with prophecy. It would do away with languages. He said languages would cease. Prophecy would cease. And we know that also these miracles would cease, because it was a walk that was to be founded on faith, not perception. It would be founded not on miracles, but on faith. And so Paul gradually weaned members of the body of Christ to the mature viewpoint. But to say it's a different member of the body, it's a different body of Christ back then, before Acts 28:28, then after Acts 28:28, a different body of Christ. Well, what happened to the first body of Christ? Here's the question. What happened to it? What happened to those poor people who heard Paul? They're hearing Paul, but they're of the early body of Christ, and they're doing these prophecy things, and they're speaking in languages. And let's say that they hear the message of the snatching away, 1 Thessalonians. And Paul in Romans is also calling himself an apostle to the nations, to the nations. You're hearing this, and you happen to die before maturity comes. Guess what? You're not in the real body of Christ. Too bad. You died before Acts 28:28 in the body of Christ. You're part of the primitive body of Christ. It's like riding a dinosaur. Like you became extinct. You were riding a Triceratops. The Triceratops died. You died with it. And according to Clyde, this Acts 28:28 thing, this primitive body of Christ, this Triceratops body of Christ, and those poor cave people who died with the primitive body of Christ, they're not among the celestials with us. No, they're not among the celestials. They're on earth with Israel, because nothing previous to Acts 28:28 was anything different than what came to Israel. It's all Israel. In fact, Paul taught to mostly Israelites, so the theory goes. He didn't. He taught to the nations. And I'm going to give you a verse early in Acts. In fact, Acts chapter 13, that shows us that Paul taught to the nations very early. Now let's see, Acts chapter 13, I have a little chart here of Paul. Paul, his name, this is the point where Saul becomes Paul officially. His name is changed in Acts chapter 13. He begins a ministry at Antioch. Actually, it begins in chapter 11, but chapter 13 is when it really heads down the road. This was in 41 AD. It's like 4 years after his conversion. But he's not in a Roman jail until 62 AD. 20 years. What happens if you died in that 20-year period before Paul goes to jail? Imagine this. Imagine someone teaching that Paul doesn't begin his ministry until he's an old man in jail, ready to die.
I think it's about time to begin my ministry. You young whippersnappers, stand back. I'm going to now start teaching the nations. I know I'm 85 years old, but I still feel a little, well, I think I'm feeling a little sick.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. Now listen to this. Here's what they're basing it on. Acts 28 position. What's it based on? Acts chapter 28. Wait till I read you. I know I did it before, but I'm getting more clarity on this. And the more I look into it, the more ridiculous it is. You have to look into it to even try to put yourself in the place of somebody who believes it. It's just like, what? What? Acts chapter 13. This is in the year 41. It says this. This is after Barnabas and Saul are separated. Saul's name's changed to Paul. Being bold. This is Acts 13:46. Being bold, both Paul and Barnabas say, quote, to you first. They're talking to the Jews. Because Paul did talk to the Jews, absolutely. He tried to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ was the Messiah because he had a heart for the Jews. He explains that in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. He wants his fellow Jews to see the truth of Jesus as the Messiah. He has to start them there. He at least has to start them there. If nothing else, he wants them to come to their own evangel, to the circumcision evangel. Oh, I was asked this. Check this out. I was asked, well, what happens to those Triceratops body of Christ people pre-Acts 28:28? Then what happens to those people? Like, what is the snatching away? What does it mean then? If it's not us being taken into our celestial home, then what the hell is it? What are these people saying that it is? All right, you're not going to believe this. Are you ready? Pour yourself a strong drink. I should get one. I don't have any alcohol in here yet. They think that rising to meet the Lord in the air, this isn't going to happen to you and me. Not going to happen to you and me, because it's an early letter of Paul's. Doesn't belong to you and me. So we're just going to appear miraculously before Christ one day. Okay, that's great, but how do we get there? The snatching away. Okay, that's the scriptural fact. But back to the fantasy for a second here. Okay, so the dinosaur people, the Triceratops, body of Christ, they're attached to Israel. They're attached to Israel. Their fortunes are wrapped up with Israel, even though Paul calls himself at this early time an apostle to the nations. Never mind that. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Okay? So their theory is that when the Triceratops people and Israel will rise to meet Christ in the air, and then they come back down. Then they come back down to be on earth. So you have to feel, yes, they go up, meet Christ in the air, and then they come back down. Why doesn't Christ just come down to them? I don't know. Ask Charles Welch. So the poor people who heard Paul before Acts 28, which is 20 years worth of people, 20 years worth of people heard Paul teaching justification. He does that in Acts 13. Teaching the conciliation of the world to God. Teaching the superiority of Christ over Adam, that is the salvation of all. Teaching the changing of our bodies, 1 Corinthians 15. All these early letters, guess what? None of that's for us. They hear all that and they're still with Israel. It's too bad. It's too bad. They're still with Israel. And yes, if they want to look forward to the coming of Christ, great. But I don't, listen, I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. But apparently there's no one alive today who can read 1 Thessalonians. I can't see how this is possible for someone alive today to read 1 Thessalonians 4 and to apply it to themselves, because the Triceratops body of Christ is dead. They died before Acts 28. What if you died the day before Paul wrote Acts 28:28? That would suck. That would suck. You die the day before, because according to Clyde, Paul says, now the body of Christ starts. Now, I'm going to show you that verse too. It is so wrong. It is so convoluted. It's such a stretch. I'm going to show you why that now is being misused. So you're one of these early body of Christ people. You died the day before Paul wrote Acts 28:28, or Luke. I'm sorry, Luke wrote Acts 28:28, but he's writing it. I wonder if it's when the event happens or when Luke writes it. Acts 28:28, that's what Luke is writing. Luke's writing the book of Acts. Is it the recording of Paul telling that to the Jews that they're going to go to the nations? Or is it Paul actually saying it? We don't know, do we? And we don't have to know, because it's moot. It doesn't matter. This is a non-issue. But I'm only exploring this to show you how wrong it is before I go into our lifestyle, which is skewed and misrepresented because of this misrepresentation. So when we're looking into Clyde's idea of what your lifestyle should be, we're looking at a bad check written to cover a bad check. Acts 28:28 is the bad check, and what we're supposed to do in this life, which is a bad recommendation, as I'm going to show you, is a bad check written to cover it. So nobody today can look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the snatching away verse. Nobody can look at it and take comfort in it. Only the early body of Christ could do that, but they're dead. So I guess, do living Israelites? We'll have to ask Clyde this. Do living Israelites then, do Paul's first letters before Acts 28 apply to them, living Israelites? These are all ridiculous questions that fortunately we don't need answers to them. All right, Acts 28:28. Are you ready for this? I'm scrolling to it. Acts 24, 27. Here it is, Acts 28, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Here it is. Holy ground. Be careful now. Luke Let me start with verse 27. I got to build up to this. Paul to the Jews who came to hear him in his prison in Rome. For stoutened is the heart of this people. Is that a newsflash? No? Okay. And with their ears heavily they hear. Had the Jews ever done this before? Yes? Their whole lives? Okay. And with their eyes they squint, lest at some time they may be perceiving with their eyes. Newsflash? No. And with their ears should be hearing, and with their heart may be understanding, and should be turning about, and I shall be healing them. This is the Isaiah prophecy. Isaiah said this about Israel centuries before. This was Israel's soup du jour. Stubbornness, blindness, deafness, a stoutened heart. Paul is just re-quoting it to them because it's still true. It's another witness against them. Here it is, verse 28. Let it be known to you then. And the people, the Jews gathered there, might have been hearing this for the first time. But because they're hearing it for the first time, is this the first time that the following is happening? Paul to the Jews in Rome, Acts 28:28. The foundation stone of Charles Welch's Acts 28:28 theory. And here it is. Let it be known to you then that to the nations was dispatched the salvation of God, and they will hear. That's it. That's it. The whole thing is based on this. We're throwing away the snatching away for this. We're throwing away Paul's recommendations on how to live in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for this. Let it be known to you then that to the nations was, past tense, was dispatched the salvation of God, and they will hear.
Well, look, it's the word will, it's future, they will hear.
What's your point? It's the nations that will hear, not the Jews. The nations will hear, and they are hearing. They will hear. I suppose they look at that and they go, the nations will hear. In other words, they're not hearing yet. They're not hearing it. The nations aren't hearing it. But to the nations was dispatched this salvation of God. When did that happen? 20 years earlier, at least. Could be more. Now I'm going to go to Acts 13, verse 46. Let me ask you if this sounds familiar, if this sounds similar to what I just read. 20 years earlier, and for all I know, Paul had not even written a letter yet. I don't think he has. Acts 13, 46. Let's go to 45. Let's go to 44. Now, on the coming Sabbath, almost the entire city was gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Yet the Jews, perceiving the throng, I hope I'm not banned from YouTube for that. The Israelites, I'll change the J word to Israelites. Yet the Israelites, perceiving the throngs, are filled with jealousy. What throng? Why would they be filled with jealousy? Because the throngs are throngs of the nations. They're looking at Greeks gathered, hearing the word of the Lord. And it pains them, it pricks them, and they're jealous because they don't like the nations. Those are dogs, the goyim. They're not worthy to be in the same room, in the same zip code as an Israelite. The Jews, perceiving the throngs, are filled with jealousy. They contradicted the things spoken by Paul, blaspheming. Just like Isaiah said, I guess. Being bold, both Paul and Barnabas say, quote, to you first was it necessary that the word of God be spoken. Yet since, in fact, you are thrusting it away and are judging yourselves not worthy of aeonian life, lo, we are turning to the nations. We are turning to the nations. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. We are turning to the nations. For thus the Lord has directed us. Wait a minute, Paul, I thought the Lord didn't direct you to do that until you're an old man in prison. Nope, right here, he's a young guy, and he says this. To you first, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken, yet since, in fact, you are thrusting it away, you are judging yourselves not worthy of aeonian life, lo, we are turning to the nations. For thus the Lord has directed us, I have appointed thee, quoting the Lord, who never ate a pizza in his life, I have appointed thee for a light to the nations, a light to the nations. For thee to be for salvation as far as the limits of the earth. Now on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believed whoever were set for aeonian life. What did they believe? Paul's gospel. because he's teaching justification in this same context. Verse 39 of Acts 13, let's go to 38. Let it be known to you, men, brethren, that through this one, capital O, Jesus Christ, is being announced to you the pardon of sins, and from all which you could not be justified in the law of Moses. In this one, everyone who is believing is being justified. This is justification by faith. This is the foundation of Paul's gospel. This is not the circumcision gospel. That would be pardon. That would be forgiveness. This is Paul's already doing it. And in this very chapter, his name is changed from Saul to Paul. This is the beginning of the thing. And yet he was called for that in Acts chapter 9, but he gets to it in earnest here. And this is where it starts. This is where it starts. And the nation started hearing it then. This is why Paul calls himself in Romans. I keep saying Romans, but I don't have that verse. It's going to be on the screen there. I was appointed an apostle of the nations. Apostle of the nations. Though I have time to go to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to make time. And then... yeah, after this, I'll be done kind of demolishing the Acts 28:28 thing. And now we're going to go to the fallacious conclusions, the fallacious teachings that are based on this house of sand, that are perched upon this shack of sticks and Elmer's glue. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Yet now, in Christ Jesus, you... who once are far off. Now, Paul's writing this from his Roman prison, probably around the same time as Acts 28:28, and he says, yet now, in Christ Jesus, you who once are far off are become near by the blood of Christ. The Acts 28:28 people think that this is just happening because of the word now. They see the word now, and they think that, like, as Paul is writing it, that it's not happening until this late era, when Paul's an old man ready to get his head chopped off. Yet now in Christ Jesus, you who once are far off are become near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace who makes both one. Who makes both one. When did he do it? Going to get to that. Who makes both one and raises, R-A-Z-E-S, that is, tears down the central wall of the barrier, the enmity in his flesh, nullifying the law of precepts and decrees, that he should be creating the two in himself into one new humanity. Paul talks about the new humanity in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a letter that does not belong to us. Oh, but it does. Don't worry. Don't worry. All of Paul's letters belong to you. That's the great good news I am bringing you today. You don't have to try to figure out when Paul wrote what. What did he write before jail? What did he write after jail? Because not all scholars believe on what Paul wrote when. You have to know that if you're an Acts 28:28 person. It's very important to know when Paul wrote his letters, because this is the great demarcation line of Acts 28:28. And people disagree. Scholars even disagree of what he wrote when. So you can't know. And God hasn't told us. Why? Because it's not important. The only thing that's important is a letter signed by Paul. If it's signed by Paul, then it's your letter. It's to the nations. If it's a letter by Paul, it's to the nations. Simple. To amputate Paul from himself is criminal. It's a terrible mistake. Now, this... yet now in Christ Jesus, okay, yet now he should be reconciling both into one body to God, killing the enmity in it. So the Acts 28:28ers, including our friend Clyde, think that now it's happening. But look what he says. Look what Paul says in verse 11, just a few verses earlier. Wherefore, remember that once you, the nations in flesh, who are termed uncircumcision, by those termed circumcision in flesh made by hands, that you were in that era apart from Christ, being alienated into the citizenship of Israel, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and guests of the promise, covenants, having no expectation, and without God in the world. Paul is comparing that era when, before Paul was called, yes, before God even called Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, the nations were without God in the world. In that era, they were apart from Christ. Yet now, you who once were far off are brought near. Yet now. Now means the time subsequent to Paul's gospel. Now. Because he's telling them he's reminding them, remember, you in that era, you were once far off. You had no expectation. You were without God in the world. Yet now, he makes the two into one body. This is a freaking review, people. It's a freaking review. He's reviewing for them. Yes, there are some new things in Ephesians in chapter 2, the secret administration, but this, what he's telling them, isn't new. This happened 20 years before Paul wrote a single letter. It's a frickin' review. Okay, I'm going to have more to say on this. Obviously, we're going to go back. I'm going to show you why. I'm just going to show you things that are disturbing. Okay? So, put your seatbelt on over the weekend. Monday morning, have a little shot of whiskey at your breakfast table because I'm diving into it on Monday and I'm not holding back.